Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Reassurance is knowing our pensions will be supporting you in the years ahead. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension today.
Now, Christmas is the best time of year for a lot of children, but for some it can be a time of terror. Barnardo's Children's Charity have new figures out today which show that nearly one third of children supported by the charity's targeted services up to the end of September are either living in or have lived in households experiencing domestic violence. The charity is highlighting the impact of domestic violence on children as part of the 16 days of activism against gender-based violence. For more on this, I'm joined on the line now by Stephanie White, Director of Services at Barnardo's. Good evening, Stephanie.
Good evening. Hi, Katie. How are you? Lovely to be here.
Stephanie, those figures out today, can you just talk to me about how many children we're talking about here?
Sure. So across our 56 services, most children who we would support through our targeted family support, we work in their family homes on issues about their family relationships and who are having difficulty in their family relationships and having difficulty with their peers and their community and school. And it is through those that work that we're doing in family homes that nearly a third have indicated to us that they're either currently or previously have experienced domestic abuse. And that roughly translates into about 1,500 children up until the end of September. Now, what you'd imagine is that when we're working with children, the referral where they come into our service, maybe with behavioural difficulties, and it's over time when we build a relationship and a trust that they start to tell us what's going on in their homes. So actually, we think it's probably more than 1,500 because there are some children who are receiving a service from us now who haven't told us yet. So we think it's more. And when we talk about domestic abuse and the language that adults use, you know, is about domestic abuse, it possibly doesn't quite capture the reality for some children. So when of what they're experiencing. So when we've asked children to describe it, if you don't mind, I might just say what they've said. And they've said things like this. It's shouting, name calling, crying, shattered glass and sometimes punches, bruises and blood. They say it gets louder and louder. We hear it in bed, even if it's in the last corner of the house. And we're worried that Mam might get killed. So you can imagine the terror that some children experience. An older child has said to us, the bruises are temporary, but the trauma is forever. And what we do know is that actually it impacts every aspect of a child's life. It impacts their family relationships with their parents and their children. It impacts their peer relationships, how they're getting on in school. And they have deep feelings of feeling responsible for what's going on, feeling blame, having low self-esteem. And that really impacts on how they're doing every day. And if it goes unaddressed, those feelings carry forward into adulthood. Yeah. So it's really important that we intervene.
That's the point, isn't it? Because we have this lasts a lifetime. There is long term impacts of
Absolutely.
Children who are experiencing this and witnessing this for maybe the rest of their lives.
Absolutely. And what it means is that if it goes unaddressed and children aren't given the space to recover together with their protective parent, usually their mother, they carry those feelings of low self-esteem, fear, anxiety into their intimate relationships themselves, into their friendships, into their jobs and their employment and training. And really, the trajectory of their development is very negatively impacted as they go on. But what I would say is that, you know, there is hope, and this is why we're coming out, because if children reach out for help and support, there is a positive route that can help them recover. Children tend to tell us the same three things. The first thing that they tend to tell us is we experience this in our own right. And they sometimes tell us stories about having been overlooked. And if the guards call to the house or a social worker comes to the house or a teacher, they feel unseen. So when we work with them, we support the child to reflect on what's happening, being able to tell their story and try to unhook them from the feelings of blame and responsibility so that they can be children in as far as they can possibly be. The second thing that they tell us is that their mothers need, they would like their mothers to get the help when they need it. So what they tell us is that they often see their mothers being blamed for their father's bad behaviour. So that if the dad breaks down the front door, the mother is blamed for not keeping the child safe. So really and they also tell us is that their mother is their main source of support. So when we're working with them, we do what we can to protect and ensure that parent-mother bond or child-mother bond. And then we link with other services like domestic abuse services, the guards and TUSLA to try and keep them safe together and protect them from the perpetrator, who is usually, in our experience, the father. But then crucially, the third thing they tell us is that they want somebody to tell their dad to stop doing what they're doing. So that is a real challenge where we need the support, and we work collaborate with domestic abuse services and TUSLA and the guards, where we try to work together to ensure that the behaviour that is causing all of the harm is stopped.
And of course, we're talking to you now because this time of year, we're coming into the Christmas period. It can bring a lot of extra stress into some houses, extra financial pressures, more alcohol, more drug use. Very traumatic, obviously, for some children, knowing that this is what's coming, that's what Christmas means in their house. What advice do you have for the children in your services who are bracing themselves for this now?
Mm-hmm. What I would say is that today there are children and mothers who are today managing and placating a violent and abusive father, either in their home, in their home together with them today, or from outside their home if they're outside the home. So they are often very skilled and adept and trying to manage to reduce the risk and the harm and keeping themselves safe. So what's really important is that we respect and we help children and mothers to reach out to get the help that they need to keep them safe over the Christmas period. But it goes on beyond Christmas and before Christmas as well. What I would say is that what is positive about it is that over the years, we have helped hundreds of children in these kinds of situations. And a lot of children, when they reach out for help, we have managed to work with them together over a period of time where they get individual help for their own individual family. Then they get help to meet other children who've experienced the same thing. And that can be really, really strengthening for children to feel that they're not alone. They're not the only people who've experienced this. But then even within that, there's another 100 children in the last few years who've gone on at a national level through our Empower Kids project, who've actually started to share their stories with judges, teachers, social workers, guards, to help share what helped them at a time of need. And that's really, really important, that those children have actually lifted their head up and say, I've been through this terrible experience, but what I've learned that helped me along the way is, when you come to my house, look me in the eye, smile, use my first name, be kind to me, believe me when I tell you what's happening. And those kinds of positive experience actually, that's what brings us to the radio today, is that if you reach out and help and ask for help, we will do whatever we can to rally around you to help you get this help that you need as a child, that your mother needs as your mother, and help to try and reduce and stop the behaviour of the father who is causing the harm.
And in terms of people reaching out for help, Stephanie, what's the situation like now with the rollout of women's refuges around the country? Because I know up until recently there was 9 counties with no refuge at all.
Yes. Certainly there is a shortage of refuges around the country, and the government recently, a couple of years ago, published a 3rd national strategy of gender-based violence, and that has a rollout plan for refuge development and building refuges. However, what I would say is that the vast majority of children who we work with don't ever find themselves anywhere near a refuge. And as I was saying earlier, they're actually living in their family home with their protective parent, who's usually their mother, trying to manage either a father in the home or outside the home.
And we heard, just to remind people, last week, and we reported on this last week, how much extra pressure the housing crisis is putting on this.
That's it. And so what we would like to see is a two-pronged approach. So yes, build more refuges. But secondly, what we would like to see is children to be supported to stay in their own home with their protective mother, so that they don't have to move, so they don't have to change schools, so they don't have to leave their hobbies and their friends and their pets, that they're the ones who get to stay in their family home with getting help from support from Bernardo's, from the domestic abuse service, from TUSLA and the guards, so that it isn't children who are paying the price for the violent behaviour of their fathers or their perpetrator parent. And that's really, really important, and that we don't overemphasize the building of refuges at the expense of home-based support that is provided by family support service like Bernardo's and the refuges or the domestic abuse services, the guards and TUSLA.
Okay, many thanks. That's Stephanie White there, Director of Services at Bernardo's Children's Charity.
Now, coming up, will AI change our weather forecasts?